Once again, welcome to St. Monica Parish. We are so glad that you're here. All of you who are sitting here in the sanctuary and also all of you who are watching us through the live stream on the internet. It's good to be here on this weekend, and we have so many things to be thankful for. There's a man named Alan. Alan was on his way to work, and he did not want to go to work that day. He'd gotten up late after hitting the snooze alarm three times. He'd gotten up grumpy and kind of grumbled past his spouse on the way to the door. He went to the car and really kind of felt flat, got on the freeway and was on taking his normal path. At that point, he realized he had $250 in his wallet and realized that he could make it to Las Vegas and have a pretty good time by the afternoon and probably people wouldn't notice too much. But he thought of his spouse, he thought of the things he had to do, and he kept on the road. It's not that he hated his job or that they were cruel to him, and he'd worked pretty hard to get the job, and it was a pretty good job, but that just didn't have the life in it anymore, and it had its few exciting things to it, but it had a lot of stuff that had become tedious and routine, and it seemed like that was the stuff that was taking up the bulk of his time and his energy. And there were a few people at work that he liked and got along with and thought on the same page with, but there were a lot of people that he was indifferent to and some people who he outright avoided. He didn't want to see them. He got off the normal exit and he went and he got to the parking lot of his office, and if he had time, he probably would have gone and visited a church. But he just sat in his car for a second and he wanted to do something religious, and he remembered that he had a St. Christopher medal, one of those inexpensive little silver ones that someone, a grandmother or something, had given him, and it was in the cup holder, so it's kind of had coffee on it and stuff. But he got that St. Christopher medal out, and he looked at it, and he had a rosary in the compartment, the compartment between his seats, and he took out the rosary, and he just held it. And he looked at the St. Christopher medal, and you know, St. Christopher, it's depicted with a man carrying a baby across a stream, St. Christopher carrying the Christ child across the stream. And he thought to himself, I need to be carried today. And something came into his head and said, no, you carry me. He thought about that, and he thought what it would be like if he could carry Christ into the office. And he thought of when the job was exciting. And he thought of the day that he really did think he did something important through his work. And he thought of the things that he was able to accomplish for his family through the work. And he decided to do something that he'd heard somebody say a long time ago. He was going to act as if. He was going to act as if it was his dream job. He was going to treat people as if they respected him and knew his abilities. And he was going to treat others as if he honored them and appreciated their abilities. And so he got the courage. He put the things back in their places, and he went into the office. And you know, that day the people who used to annoy him didn't annoy him quite as much. And in fact, he really did appreciate the work that they did, and they appreciated him. And when he started to remember the things about the job that he liked and acted out of that, indeed, he remembered the pieces of the job that he liked. It wasn't a perfect day, but when he got in his car to go home, he felt a whole lot better. I think we all have times in our life that we're like Alan. We have times in our life when the passion dries out of a job, of a relationship, of a living situation. And when the excitement is gone, where it seems like we've left with just the ordinary stuff. And it's a difficult place to be. Sometimes it's a urging, and there's something really immediate about it that makes us want to make big decisions. But more often than not, it's a dulling. It's a numbing. It's burnout. This parable today is for any of us that have been in that situation. This parable is about the wine running out. Wine is a symbol of passion, and life is a symbol of the fullness of God. This parable is about the wine running out, and how do we handle that? Mary and Jesus and the disciples were at this big wedding, and a wedding feast is always in Scripture a symbol of the fullness and the goodness and the wonder of God. The banquet is what God describes heaven being. And so when they get to the point in the banquet, when the wine starts to go, it's not just that the partygoers are going to lose their buzz. It's not just about that. It's that symbolically, in terms of the meeting, it's not a good thing for the energy, for the flow to go out of that so early. You don't want that to end early. And Mary knows that. Mary notices that the wine is running short. And so she says to Jesus, you know, the wine is running short. And even Mary gave Jesus to-do lists. I'm glad my mother gives me to-do lists when I go home. The wine is running out. Jesus says, well, my time's not yet come. We don't even know, there's no words that were there, but I think there was a look that passed. Your time hasn't come. You're talking about the kingdom all the time, and here it is, a chance to say something, a little something about the kingdom. And she says to the waiters that are standing there, do whatever he says. One of the greatest lines in scriptures, do whatever he says. And Jesus looks around, and what do they have? They have some waiters, they have a few empty jars, and they got tap water. Waiters, empty jars, and tap water. And Jesus says, take what you've got. To the waiters, he says, take these empty jars and fill them with the tap water. And then he says, after they've done that, he says, now go serve it to the wine steward. Now, I personally would have hated to be the waiter that was assigned to do that. You want me to go give this to the wine steward? But Jesus says, do it as if this tap water is fine wine. And so somehow that servant goes and pours a glass of this, and it is wine. And not only is it wine, but it's good wine. It's the best wine. The grace of God can come into our lives and can transform things where we thought there was an energy or passion, because we all have times in our lives. We all have times when the wine runs out, when we lose a sense of meaning and joy and purpose in life. Some days do not seem like the kingdom of God is at hand. And one of the things Christ said all the time is the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is in your midst. It's in our midst. But it feels more like the party is over, or it's blah, or feel like checking out. What once was a thrill is now routine. What once was full of meaning now seems flat. The wine is out, and all it seems that we have is empty jars and tap water and a parting that's winding down. And then we start to respond to the emptiness instead of responding out of a hope for the fullness. We start to respond to what we don't have instead of looking at what we do have and what we do have available. And the first thing that we see from this scripture is that we are to notice. And this is so much better if we notice that this is happening, if we notice that this kind of burnout is happening before we're completely out. And one version of the scripture, it says Mary noticed that they were out of wine. This version says that they were running short of wine. It's so much better if we start to do these things when we're just running short, when we start to notice the trend, to take notice of it and be honest about it. And then to take that to Jesus, to take it to prayer. And we know that Christ loves us, and we know that we can take this to prayer, our needs and our concerns. And we know that we can put that at the foot of our Lord. But we also know that we have those who will pray for us and with us, who will intercede for us. And Mary is a great intercessor. She's the mother who notices things. She's that wonderful woman who can make sure that Christ knows the full implications when certain things are empty, when certain things are running out. We can take that and we can put that before the Lord and listen. In those times, it's hard to listen because we feel like what it says in Isaiah, forsaken and barren, lifeless and left alone. But if we take it to Jesus and listen, most of the times in our hearts, we'll know what to do, whether it's to recommit or whether it's to do something bigger or more transformational. But so often what Jesus says is, take what you have. The waiters had empty jars and tap water. On another day, he said to somebody, take what you have, and all they had was two loaves and a few fishes. But when we take what we have, put it before the Lord, and give it in service of others, amazing things can happen. So what do you have? Do you have your health? Maybe you don't have your whole health, but maybe you've got part of your health. Maybe you're actually pretty weak, but you can pray. Maybe you don't have all the time that you need, but do you have an hour? Maybe you don't have an hour, but do you have 15 minutes? Maybe we have a computer, an education. Maybe you don't have an army of people to help you change the world or change your office or change your neighborhood, but do you have one or two people? If we look at what we have instead of being preoccupied at what we're missing, and we put that before the Lord, grace can come. And then to serve it, to give that, confidently pour that out for people in service and let them taste of it and appreciate it. Approach work with love and conviction. To treat a spouse as though it were with the same love as earlier in the relationship. To act as if we were doing something meaningful and important. To listen as if we were really going to be able to serve and help. To love and have an attitude of love even when it doesn't feel present. St. John of the Cross had that great quote, "Where you find love absent, bring love, and you will find love." Then we find. And when we do that so often, that's when some of the greatest things can occur. I have a friend who's a therapist in one of the places I was assigned before in Colorado Springs. She's a therapist, and she and her husband are writing a book about marriage. And the title of the book is The Best Served Last. And it's in reference to this parable because she had worked with so many couples that had gone through difficult times in their relationship. And she found that when they kind of worked through it and brought what they could, even in the times when it seemed challenging and tough, or when at times when it seemed empty and dry, that if they could hold on, if they could work with what they had, if they had years of experience and history together, if they had some level of commitment, that the later years of marriage could be wonderful, and she was convinced they could be, and it certainly had been the case in her own relationship. So often, if we can get through these times, the best does come. The best does come later, and comes because perhaps we know what it is to be without it. We know what it is to live with the emptiness or to live with the dryness, but perhaps also it's because it's that emptiness or that dryness or that the dark night or the burnout or the not having the spark of the wine that makes us realize that we need God's grace. And maybe it's those times that humble us to notice, to take it to Christ, and then to generously and honestly use what we have to serve. So let us notice the ways that we need a spark, the wine in our life, the kingdom in our life. Let us take our need to Jesus. Let us assess what we have and what we can work with it, and then serve it. And then let us taste what so often can be the very best of what God promises at the banquet of God, the very best of the wine of the kingdom.